Back here on the second guest show, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be here until 8 o'clock tonight. We've had some people ask about it, but Dylan Cruz in his first at-bat, pop fly on a fastball, and so did not get that hit, but they threw him a high fastball, and he popped it up, Bob. So Dylan Cruz.
Well, he's in the majors.
He's in the majors now, and so another story for us to cover here. On our Oakwood Hard Jewelers Talking Text Line from Yahoo Sports, Ross Dellinger. Ross, thanks so much for joining us. And, man, everywhere you turn, there's an LSU story, right, Ross? Man, you think about Mondo over the weekend. He breaks his own record again in the pole vault and see all these guys all across the landscape of LSU sports. Ross, you talking about we have covered the golden age of LSU sports. We live in it right now.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. It's been probably 15, 20 years of LSU football's surge, and now it seems like all the other sports are following the lead lately. And I know there's going to be a Netflix, I believe, or Amazon documentary on LSU and NIL and just the success there. So, yeah, it's been pretty incredible era here that we're in for LSU athletics.
Yeah, Ross, I hear all this lying about, oh, people in Louisiana, they ain't got money. They're not going to be able to keep up with this NIL stuff.
Can't keep up with Texas.
Well, you got to be kidding. Now, Texas money is a different story. But, man, they got money in Louisiana. I got a lot of them. I sort of know they lie about their money. Oh, I ain't got man, I'm poor. I ain't got no money. I ain't got – well, oh, LSU needs what? How much they need for that? I'll take care of that. So it goes to show you a little bit. There's a big kind of gap between the haves and the have-nots, but that's a story for another day. Looking at this game, LSU-USC, I was telling that to Bob. You think about, we grew up in an era, USC was always playing either for a national championship or to get to the Rose Bowl. I think for most people, they would have a difficult time telling you one guy, other than the quarterback Moss, who they saw in the bowl game, that's playing for USC today.
Yeah, it's you're right. You know, you look at what Lincoln Riley's going to be in his third year, and they had a lot of success in year one, and then kind of dropped off last year, and people stopped kind of paying attention to them, I think. And you look at this year's team, and a couple of probably names. You mentioned Miller Moss, the quarterback. Zachariah Branch, the receiver, is somebody. He's a return man, too. That's pretty dang good, and will be a household name probably by the end of all this. And then, you know, on the defensive line, LSU probably is familiar with a Bear Alexander, their nose guard. So they've got some players. It's just we haven't seen, certainly last year, we just didn't see a lot of them play to the potential, especially on defense, right? USC has just struggled on defense, really, everywhere Lincoln Riley's been, and going back to Oklahoma, they've struggled on defense. They have a new coordinator this year, and you know, D'Anton Lynn from UCLA hired him away from UCLA, and so there's some hope that they can turn it around.
All the transfer, new coach, transfer portal, new players, but Ross, how do you feel like with Coach Kelly? And, you know, you always want to get off to a fast start. I remember with Coach O, you know, kind of shocking in Tiger Stadium, losing to Mississippi State. You look what happened then. And then if you look as of late, losing twice. No, obviously Coach O losing in L.A. to UCLA, but then losing the last two games to Florida State in the opener. I mean, I think that this is talking about Lincoln Riley needs to get off to a fast start. I think Coach Kelly for LSU also, and only one team can win. But I know a lot of LSU fans would be discouraged in how they wanting to represent and go out to Las Vegas if LSU lost five straight openers to start their season.
Yeah, it's pretty shocking, this skid that LSU's on to open the season opening kind of skid. I can remember the days right, when I covered the team, and then before that, under Les Miles and then under Nick Saban, where they were on that streak of season opening wins. I don't know what it got up to, but it was up there. And then there was that non-conference streak that they held for so long. I think in 2016, the loss to Wisconsin at Lambeau Field may have snapped that streak, but it was like 10 years, guys, if you remember, or maybe more, that LSU didn't lose a non-conference game. So it's odd to see, yeah, this current skid they're on, and this is a big one. You know, it feels really important, just for the national landscape where you're playing a historic program like USC that's now in the Big Ten. You know, there's obviously been a lot of made of the SEC and the Big Ten, and the fact that they're now kind of administratively working together. But on the football field, I'm sure they want to assert their dominance. And this is one of the few matchups in the non-conference that we'll get between the two leagues outside of bowl and in college football playoff matchups. So feels big for Lincoln Riley too. Brian Kelly, as you mentioned, third year. Same kind of story. You know, if you look at their records, Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly, third year, each of them, they've been, you know, high expectations when they entered both of those jobs, big contracts, about very similar contracts, $10 million a year type contracts for 10 years. And in the first year, they did really, really well, right? Exceeded probably all expectations. In the second year, there was a dip.
You know what, Ross, when I look at the schedule, how it's going to play out, I don't know, Max, your opinion. You're more on top of this than me. And I tell them, oh, yeah, we're going to be undefeated. They go, Bobby, you don't think we should be undefeated by the time we play Ole Miss October the 12th? I say, yes. I think the expectations with Ole Miss, I know you're playing in Tiger Stadium, but that would look at the expectations. You got to go back to, like, the early 60s. Think about that. Ole Miss, I don't think, has ever had this high expectations. You know, look in the postseason and you're going back to, segregation and all, when you look at an Ole Miss back then and Archie and all that.
I talked to Archie about it. He said the only times he could remember is right before his senior season. Now, they got off to a fast start that year, and then Archie breaks his arm against Southern Miss. And then he brought up Eli's final year at Ole Miss, where it was kind of a rocky road start early on. I think they were 2-2. Then they got hot, and then the showdown between them and LSU pulling out a victory at the end. But the expectations before that year were really high, and as Archie said, we were kind of a sleeper national championship pick for a lot of people back his final year in 1970.
And they have Ole Miss as a sleeper right now. Ross, where do you have Ole Miss? You think they could disappoint or watch out for them?
Yeah, I mean, you look what Lane Kiffin did with the enhancing the talent every year on that roster through the transfer portal. I mean, he calls himself, I think, right, the portal king. He's done a good job of that transfer portal. He's not afraid to go out and get players and kind of mash everybody together from different schools from that portal and use that. A lot of coaches will shy away from doing it too much, but he certainly has not. And they have the talent, if you look, and they certainly experience at quarterback to compete for the playoff. You know, I go back, they were talking about the last time there was this kind of expectation for Ole Miss. And yeah, I mean, I think it was 2003. Was Eli's last year there, and I remember being at that LSU Ole Miss game where if Ole Miss had won, they'd go to Atlanta for the SEC championship game, and then LSU pulled it out in the end. But it was that year is the one that comes to mind. You know, Hugh Freeze had a couple of good years; he beat Alabama a couple times, but and he actually, you know, came to Tiger Stadium with I believe either the number one maybe or number two ranked team, and LSU won that game. So I could totally see both of these teams, right, entering that game undefeated. LSU's toughest game over that stretch is probably this USC team. It's probably that game. So So if they get by that, you look at Ole Miss's schedule, their toughest game maybe is Kentucky, and they get them at home. They do have to go to South Carolina. Both teams over that stretch have to go to South Carolina. But you could see them Ole Miss being 6-0 and LSU being 5-0 for that game. That would be a pretty cool environment there at Tiger Stadium.
Well, I would like to have the alcohol sales that weekend.
Yeah.
If both teams undefeated. Whew. Man, you talk about you be chiming in a lot. Your thoughts on Garrett Nussmeier, because it is unusual. You've covered college sports for a long time, especially college football. To have a guy kind of sit and wait, and he told me over the summer, it wasn't that it hadn't crossed my mind to leave, but I felt maybe this is the right spot for me. He's waited a long time. Now he's being handed the baton. He's the guy at LSU.
Well, the most ultimate, wait your turn. Is anybody more than Matt Flynn? I mean,
other than Matt?
Yeah. Think about that.
And he's not playing in this era.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But think about patience. Yeah.
Well, the only one right now that I'm sure there are more, but in college football this season, when you look at the quarterbacks who are first time starters taking over for a team, a lot of them are transfers, obviously. A lot of them are sometimes in their freshman year, their second year. But actually, the two quarterbacks in this game, Miller Moss and Garrett Nussmeier, have been around their program and kind of bided their time for a couple years. Miller Moss, I think three years, maybe even four. He's been there. He could have probably left. Garrett Nussmeier, same thing. So both of these guys kind of stuck around. And you're right. You don't see really talented, highly ranked players like them to stick around as much in college football. I'm working on kind of crunching numbers of the transfers the starting quarterback transfers this year. And I'm not done, but it's probably more than 50%, or really close, of starting quarterbacks at the Power 5 conference level are transfer players, many of them in their first year in their transfer. So you don't see a lot like these two quarteracks, what they've done in biding their time in this game.
Ross, when I look at that's why, I mean, I'm a big fan of what's occurring now and into the future of college football, because I think fans want more meaningful games. Not only if you're trying to fill up a stadium like LSU, who holds 102,000 plus, but I think fans want to see nothing against, listen, I'm from Lafourche Parish, nothing against Nicholls State in South Alabama, but when you get UCLA and Oklahoma coming to Baton Rouge, UCLA's never come to Baton Rouge. I think Oklahoma's never, I don't think. So when you got the likes of UCLA and Oklahoma coming to Baton Rouge, that's how you get 102,000 in the stands.
Well, that's right, and that is the era. We're in an era of college athletics where the rich programs and the successful, historically successful programs are separating themselves more and more financially from everybody else. And whether you want to say that's the Power Four and the Group of Five gap, which is growing, or the gap, honestly, within the Power Conference schools themselves. And the gap continues to grow, and it will continue to grow, and we'll see more of a separation. We've seen so much of a separation off the field in resources, in rulemaking, in playoff spots, things like that. But we're going to probably soon see even more and more separation on the field, where you don't have the kind of upsets that you might have gotten years ago when it comes to the Group of Five upsetting the Power Conference schools, because of this kind of unregulated type of free agency we have, which is the transfer portal and NIL. That combination, that combination has created a feeder type of minor league system at the Group of Five level. If you talk to coaches down there, they feel like they are feeder system for the upper, the power league. So it's a gap that's going to continue to grow, guys. And eventually, we'll see more of a probably a formal split, this House antitrust settlement case and the revenue sharing that's coming with it will be another factor, another thing that will create more separation.
Now, Ross, when I look at Coach Kelly and where he's at right now, seems like that magic number is 10. I don't know if 10 wins enough to get you in the postseason to be part of a 12-team playoff, but I'm looking at I would take that right now. Now, it depends what's going to unfold, but Brian Kelly has won 10 or more games in 7 consecutive years, the longest active streak among FBS coaches. Do you think he makes it 8?
You know, looking at their schedule, it's never easy, right? We talked about that Ole Miss game. You know, they got to go play at Texas A&M, host Alabama, host Oklahoma. I could see them going 10-2 and 9-3 or 10-2. That's kind of the feeling that I've got for the team. That defense has got to improve. I'm assuming the new defensive coordinator has them will have them playing better. It can't get much worse than what we saw at times last year. So you would think with an improved defense, this LSU team can win 9 or 10 games. And if you get there, Bobby, you mentioned 10-2 making the playoff potentially. It would be pretty shocking if a 10-2 SEC team doesn't get one of those at large spots. There'd have to be a pretty good logjam of 10-2, 11-1 teams for a 10-2 to get left out from the SEC. It could happen, certainly. And depending on the two you lose, I think that all, you know, the committee will look at that stuff. But I would expect that a 10-2 LSU would get into the playoff.
Ross, so we'll let you go, but I'm going to tell you something Archie Manning told me. He said, Mike, don't be shocked at this, that a 9-3 SEC team, because of strength of schedule and them maybe getting hot late in the year, squeeze into the 12-team.
Wouldn't be surprised. Absolutely. You know, depending on the year, right, you could see a 9-3 SEC getting taken for an at-large spot over a 10-2 ACC or Big 12 team.
Now, Ross, we lied to you. One more. You carry this from a national perspective. Why has Clemson been so anti to change, keep up with the Joneses, change with the times? I mean, whether it's NIL,
that
transfer
comes from
portal,
the head coach.
No,
that's an easy
but why is he so stubborn?
You'd have to ask him, but I'll let Ross answer.
I've asked him plenty of times, including about a year and a half ago, and I sat down with him in his office, and you know, he said, "Ross, we've got to, in order to have room for transfers, we have to lose players." And that is one thing Clemson does not do a whole lot of, is players don't transfer out of there. And now with the expanded rosters coming, right, where you could have 20 more players on scholarship, maybe that changes. I assume we will see him dabble a little more in the portal, because that's the one thing that Clemson is missing. That portal gives you a plug and play immediate player at a position that, you know, is needed, and it's maybe weaker, and we've seen over the last couple of years that they need those plug-and-play players.
Ross, one of the things with them, this is a Pete Jenkins line, they're not as good on defense up front. That's where they excelled all the time. They always had a quarterback, but you look back at all those really good defensive linemen throughout the years, man, they don't have nobody like that anymore. And they had multiples, of those type guys.
Well, you got to keep up with the Joneses. I don't know. Like the Davo, come on. Yeah, that's the approach I take.
Thanks so much, Ross. We appreciate your time, buddy.
All right, Ross.
See y'all.
Ross Dellinger from Yahoo Sports, covering college football and college sports.